going through. You know, Jesus told him, he called him a wicked servant. He said, you knew that I reap where I didn't sow. Jesus reaps from us. We're reaping from him. And he reaps from us, praise God. But how many knows, I was thinking about going through seasons in our life. See, I went through a season after I got born again to get rid of this old man way of thinking, you know, in some things that were destructive to my marriage and all of that. But I had to hang on to Jesus while I was going through. I had to hang on to church and hang on to praying and fasting while I was going through that season, because to die out to the flesh is not easy. I'm just telling you, it's really at times challenging. But once we get an upper hand and we start getting the upper hand on the flesh, I mean, it begins to lose its power. It begins to lose its grip. I mean, it can't keep us oppressed, the flesh. It can't keep us weak and weary and faithless. Hallelujah. Well, I just don't believe in all of that. Well, that's why you're dead. Jesus said, my spirit's, I am spirit and I'm life. He said, my words are spirit. They are life. The Bible contains life in it. Hallelujah. There's faith in the word of God contained in it, revealed to people that are after Jesus, to people that are born again. Well, I just don't feel like getting born again. Well, you're not going in the kingdom. You can't inherit the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom. You can't feel the kingdom. You can't experience the kingdom. And you will not experience heaven. Hello, somebody. One of my brothers prayed for it. He said, I prayed for you this morning, but I don't know if the Lord heard me or not. I said, that's okay. I said, I prayed and I talked to him. I wasn't just praying. I said, I talked to Jesus this morning. This is before I went into heart surgery. I said, I talked to Jesus this morning. I said, and I'll be out soon. I said, when I get back to church, you need to come on to the house of God. He's hoping, if you know, that the Lord heard him, maybe I wouldn't die. But you know what he didn't know? He didn't know to die is gain. Hallelujah. Now, I would hate it for Teresa, but Jesus is big. He's big. He can take care of Teresa if she keeps turning to him and trusting in him. I done seen it happen year after year in families that lose loved ones, that won't turn loose of Jesus, that won't turn loose of faith, hallelujah, and confidence in the one. But most of those folk were real, genuine, Bible-believing, praying, fasting, seeking, giving time to Jesus people. These are the kinds of people that I've seen come out of all that hard. They go through. They don't get stuck in. That's what the Bible says in Psalms 23. Though I walk through the valley. They were going through a valley of shadow and death. They were going through a season. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what the psalmist David said. He said, I might be going through where they're all wanting to kill me, and Saul's wanting to kill me, and I'm being locked, you know, I'm being after to be killed and not having no freedom and all of that. I might be going through, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to just bow down and say, well, you know, it's the way it is in life now. And Lord, you know, I've had it good before, Lord, and I know things have changed. That's not going through. Some people don't go through with a good attitude because they don't know the will of God. They don't know what's going on. Don't you believe the steps of the righteous are ordained to the Lord? Ordered. So if you're in a little bit of mud having to spin, guess who put you there? Now, if you've made some dumb choices and got in a mud hole, well, God didn't do it. Right? I read that he said that he will make the crooked places straight. I read in there that he says he'll set us up on a holy highway, a separated highway that evil can't cross. Do you know the Bible says that if my ways please the Lord, that he'll make even my enemies at peace with me? I mean, they'll be like, just don't do nothing to Scotty. Good Lord, I'd like to bust his teeth out, but he's a pretty good old guy. Or you. That's what it says. He said, if my ways please the Lord, he will make even my enemies at peace with me. You know, and so, I mean, I've got a season. I've gone through seasons, you know. I will never borrow another dime for a vehicle. Well, what if it blows up your main truck? I'll use the other one. I'll come get yours. I will not go to the bank again, ever, in my life. See, and then some of you is afraid to make that kind of a bold statement. But you know what the Bible says? He said the wicked, they run when nobody's going after them. But the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. Bold, hallelujah. You got to get bold. I have to get bold with my flesh. I have to tell my flesh, no, you are not committing adultery. No, you are not looking at that naked woman on Marketplace. No, you are not getting you a TikTok. There's a bunch of naked women on TikTok. I just seen them advertising TikTok. And they're being funny and they're naked jiggling around and all them Christian men. Yeah, Jesus. You ain't getting nothing from Jesus. Somebody told me not too long ago, you ought to get TikTok. I said, I'm about to get ticked off at the devil. He ain't getting me on TikTok. He ain't getting me in no chat rooms. He ain't going to get me to have women, you know, ministering to women. I'm going through this life. I'm going through. I'm not going to look like a skint potato if I make it to heaven. I'm going to be one that's got buds coming out of me, man. Ready to grow some new ones, man. Hallelujah. See, how many knows there are times in our lives we must hang on to Jesus and know that he will bring us through. God never abandoned his people in the valleys. He never abandons us while we're being transformed and changed. He won't abandon us. I mean, he just won't. You give God just a little. I mean, I was stupid, but I'm not now. I'm a wise guy. I'm there, the Holy Spirit. I'm there. My brother traded a tractor for another tractor and couldn't get the thing running, you know, and all of that. And I'd laid down, took me a nap, short nap, woke up 30 minutes, you know, and he was on my mind. I mean, so I just picked my phone right up. And I called him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking away from this tractor. I said, what is it? He's done everything he can do. Everything that he knows to do to get that tractor running. And I said, boy, what? And so I told him, I said, nah. I said, just run a hot wire from the battery down to the fuel injection relay. Run it down there. He said, well, it'll get too hot. I said, no, crank the tractor up. I said, because once the tractor's going, it's flowing the fuel through the pump, and it cools the pump off. He did that, and it fired up, and his worries were over. Now, you know what? That don't come from sitting on the couch. Well, Lord, I'm just stupid. I just got to pay somebody to do everything for me. I just can't do nothing. My hands are... I get skin up all the time. She said, you're beat up on your arm. I said, yeah, that's the stirrup wheel on that tractor. I said, but you know what? I said, I could stay here and not have a boo-boo, not have any knots on my knees and hands, not beat up by mosquitoes. I could stay here, you know, and be, I said, but a real man gets a little scratches on him every now and then. A real man will squeeze his arm in there when he can't get in there to do his mechanic work. A real man will take the tires off, take the side of the engine off to get to something you need to change out. got out of open heart surgery, praise God, going through that, going through, can't come to church and all that stuff because this body trying to tell me what to do, but God, and I'd run over a culvert over there and bit my A-frame on my four-wheel drive truck and went down there and called the mechanic up. I couldn't do it right then, Johnny. It hurt my chest and stuff to, you know, tug on them tires and stuff like that. It took me 45 minutes to plug my wife's tires, and you can't even plug a tire. I couldn't push it in there. So we went in there and got me a big wrench, and I mean, I spent 35 minutes, took me 35 minutes to put a plug in the tire. Son, I used to do that, spit on it, and shove it in there. 3 minutes. And I was determined. I said, I'm going through this, Lord, but I'm not going to bow down to it. I'm not going to bow down to weakness. I'm not going to bow down to this body telling me I can't do it. So I got me some equalizers and plugged that tire. So anyways, I couldn't physically do that. Praise God. And it ain't no different now. I take those small victories that I won in the battle, and I use them now in the battles I'm in now. I use that same victory. Going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I'm not looking to go 55 to 57 and down. I told Travis the other day, I said, I'm not looking. I don't have to go to work. I don't. I don't have to go a lot on one job if I don't want to. But I go on every job, and I'm breaking out the two. I break out the fans first, I do admit, first. That's the first thing I'm dragging out of there. I want some air stirring. So anyways, I go down there to, you know, call my neighbor up. He's a mechanic. And I said, I want my truck fixed. I need my truck fixed. Can you get that? I done got the A-frame. I said, can you put this A-frame on right now? I can't do it right now. Oh, yeah, I'll put it on there. So I'll tell Travis, somebody, Teresa, one of them. I said, come down there and pick me up. So I went down there, took my truck down there, you know, put the A-frame in there. And 2 days goes by, and my truck ain't fixed. So I thought, well, Buck, God, you know what? I got some integrity. I do what I say. I try my best, and I expect that mechanic to do it. So I go down there and get in my truck, and I'm backing out, and he calls me, What are you doing? I said, I'm getting my truck. Well, I was going to get on it today. I said, well, I want my truck fixed. Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not going to draw back from what I feel the Lord wants to do. If somebody don't want to get on my boat, then get on the other paddle boat, because I got a big motor and we're moving. Right? I do the same way with garage doors. Hallelujah. I'm diligent. The hand of the diligent will bear fruit. See, when you're going through, don't start letting down on the word. Don't start letting down on your integrity. I know what it feels like to not want to answer the phone, and the pressures of this life, and pressures of finances, and pressures of this ministry, and pressures of people got COVID, and pressures of people sick, and pressures of people not going to church. Their bodies don't feel like it. I understand those pressures. Paul even talked about how the weight of the church was on him, praise God. But you know what? He's the one that taught in there, casting all your cares over on the Lord. You know, Paul didn't quit middle ways through the journey that God had him on. He didn't quit. They beat him and whipped him, and I mean, you know, tortured him and all kinds of starved him. He was in fastings often. Some of us can't even slide a meal back. I just can't do it. I can't. No, you won't do it. You can do all things. You can. I mean, it's easy for you to quote that when you're believing him for something that you've got faith in. But what about the areas that he wants you to build faith in? You got to use the same scripture then and say, I can do all things. I can fix this. I can do this. I can. I will do it. And I go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Build yourself up in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exactly what he did when he led them to. I mean, he went and told Moses, I want you to go down there and deliver them. He knew about Pharaoh. He knew. He knew they were in bondage down there. And you know what? He even tells the Lord, I can't talk. He stuttered. Moses stuttered. He couldn't talk plain. So he sent Abram, wasn't it? Yeah. Sent Abram with him. You know? Well, he goes down there, you know, and I can just imagine in that camp there were like, well, we've got it made right now. You know, we don't really want to go. You know, so he had to tell them, look, you're not gonna have to do this. He tells us, you can be free. You can be free from fear. You can be free from debt. You can be free, you know, from the things, the world and the pressures of this world. You can be free, but you've got to come out from under Pharaoh. You got to come on out of there. You got to come out into a place that I'm carrying you where I rule and reign. I can't rule and reign right there. Because you are in bondage to that other thing, that other man. But you know what? Here they get to the Red Sea. God led them there. God led them to the Red Sea. No, nowhere else to go. That just reminds me of times in my life where God has brought me to a Red Sea experience where it looked like the enemy was going to be able to get advantage, where it looked like there was nowhere I could go. It looked like everything was going to fail me and all of that. Then all of a sudden, God tell me something to do and then do it just like he told Moses. He said, stretch your rod out. He stretched that rod out and that Red Sea rolled back. Now, Moses ain't that smart. He don't know how. You don't know that sea's fixing to roll back, but God does. God knows that sea's fixing to roll back, and God is fixing to show his enemies, his enemies and his people what kind of God that he really is. And he does that in my life over and over and over. It's not big rolling the Red Sea back things. It's the things that I know God gives me grace in, just like the jobs that I'm doing now. I told God, I said, I've got your favor and your grace, God, on my business. That way it makes it easy. It makes me put in less hours and make more money, and then I can spend time in my garden or my cows or whatever I want to do, you know. And that is it. I told Travis the other day, I mean, those jobs, they just go smooth and other jobs don't, praise God. You know, but I told Travis, I said, we're graced. I said, there's nobody can do it as fast as we got God's grace. Now, I can just whine about it and whine about it, Todd, whine about it and just whine how I hate my job and dread it in my heart. I really don't. I can do all that, and then it's going to be hard all the time. And I'm going to work 50 years wishing I'd never seen a garage door. No, I'm going to work and be 50 years, and I'm praising God that he put me in that. It's been good to me. Yes, because you make all that money. That money means nothing to me. God is everything. There wasn't no money there when I was fixing to commit suicide. There wasn't no money there when my wife was gone and took my kid and had the threat of her meeting somebody else and raising my son, and he wouldn't love my son and all those thoughts. There wasn't no money there. The job was there, but it didn't give me what I needed, Johnny. But God showed up that morning, and God reminded me of what somebody had said, and I said, if you're really real, well, I still do that today. I don't tell him, Lord, if you're really real, but I do talk to him, and I do tell him, had it not been for you in my life, God, I wouldn't have the physical strength. But you know what God says? God told me one time, he said, I couldn't have done it without you, son. I couldn't have empowered you without you agreeing. I couldn't have raised you up if you wouldn't let me in. I couldn't bring you up financially if you wouldn't tithe and honor me. He said, whenever things were easy, you were honoring me. He said, that's why little came in. He said, but then you came to the point and built your heart up that you're going to honor me. He said, in whom you honor, I honor, Isaiah says. If you honor me, I'll honor you. If you lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem you. That's what he told him in Isaiah. And so I've learned and learning when I'm going through not to draw back on my faith and get discouraged. Just like times I went through here and I'd get all excited, 60, 70 people and everything. And then, I mean, I would be fired up for days. I'd be, whoo, glory to God. Man, we're growing. People's coming. Hallelujah. And we're there with, man, we can do ministry and stuff. And you know, and then you come the next Sunday and you got 30. You just lost all your joy. Y'all don't know what about how that feels. I mean, that's me. But whatever it is that you must go through, you go through with a good attitude. Joseph had to keep a good attitude. Joseph was thrown and sold into slavery because of a vision that he had from the Lord. Because of he's going to rule, that people's going to have to serve under him. You know, and, oh, that's my little brother. He can't do that and blah, 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 you know. And I can't serve under somebody younger than me. I've been doing this a long. I can't work under. I can't be told what to do because I've been in my own business. That's foolishness. That is plumb foolishness. Now, I kid with Travis. He tells me what to do every now and then, you know. I told him other side. I said, don't tell me what to do again, man. I was messing with him, Jenny. Whatever, Dad. I can be told what to do as long as he ain't stupid. Now, if he's stupid, you ain't going to get me to do stupid stuff. You know, if he's going to jump off a bluff, Daddy ain't going. Now, you want to build a bridge, I'll come across the bridge with you because that's smart. But you can submit to whoever, whatever God puts in your life. When you're going through that season of humbling yourself, this is going to exalt you. The Bible says if we will humble ourselves, that he will exalt us. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due season. That's why I'm exalted on the plane that I am, in the ministry, and then because I ain't back down and give up and quit. When I got discouraged, he sent me a word, and I got up and geared up more than once. I had to go through that to where it don't make me no difference if nobody shows up. I get up here, I'm going to preach. I don't got to have a house full to do the will of God. You got to get it in your heart. What is the will of God? Some of y'all, you're supposed to work in this ministry and you just won't do it. You just won't do it. Why? Because I'm busy. I got a job. Did you know everybody who in the kingdom's got a job about it? Did you know everybody in the kingdom has to buy groceries? Did you know everybody has to buy gas? Did you know my house needs upkeep? You didn't know that? Sure. Teresa's on me right now about a bunch of stuff. And it'll plumb depress me. Told her the other day, I said, don't talk about that right now. Why not? I got a lot of stuff going on over here. Now you're causing me to focus on the wrong thing now. Let the house fall in right now. I'm not getting on it. But I'm not going, oh, Jesus. If it ain't one thing, it's another. No, Lord, you give me the house. You give me the house. Praise you for the house. Praise you for Teresa. Lord, just call the devil to shut them thoughts off. Right when she don't need them, don't let her think them. She said it this morning. He'll use Christians. If we'll yield, he'll use us. Satan will. But the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it says, for we know that all things work together for the good, but it ain't for everybody. You got it? You can quote that scripture all you want to for those that love God. If I love him, I'm going to keep his commandments. If I love him, I'm going to do his thing that he's wanting me to do. If I love him and he's telling me to forgive, I'm going to do my best to forgive. If I love him and he's telling me to change my attitude, if he's telling me to love my wife as Christ so loved the church, then if I love him, he works all things together for my good. He works his plan. He brings out the character of God. Hallelujah. It's not just, I can't help but to preach prosperity. You know, and I try not to preach it in a sense to where it would make you go after money, period. That would make you go after money. Because money don't satisfy. That stuff don't satisfy. But the Lord prophesied to me one time through. I had this desire to bless people. I just knew, man. I was saying, God, let me be the one. Let me be the one, Lord. Because I heard a sermon. And they said, you could be the one that God uses to touch the world. You know, you could be the one that pays people's houses off. You could be the one. He wasn't talking to me. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, let me be the one. Let me be the one, Lord. Use me. I want to be used. I didn't even know what I was saying. Well, it wasn't too long. A guy comes to church, you know, and he said, "You." He said, "Stand up." I stood up. I think he was a missionary. I don't remember if I knew him before then or not. But he said, "Stand up." He goes over there. Oh, he's a prophet. He was a prophet. He said, "I see you with a fistful of." He said, "I see money hanging off of both sides." He goes, "I'm so broke, I don't even know. I just barely got to church that night. I borrowed Doris and them station wagon. You remember that, do you? I borrowed their station wagon and didn't have the money to put all the fuel back in that was in it to go to church. I was going to church, Richard. I don't care. I will borrow your station wagon. I'm going to church." And people today, they got 15 cars and they can't come because their flesh is tired. That's dumb. Dumb. Had I not been in church that night, he said, "I see you with a fistful of dollars." He said, "And I can see you." He said, "I can see you saying, 'God, let me be the one.'" Did you know God sees the cries of your heart that are after him? Did you know that he's crying out to you to get what he wants? Hallelujah. You know what? And today I am anointed to teach God's people how to prosper. I told them over in India, I believe it was over there in Mr. Weston, we need bicycles. We need motorcycles. We need motorcycles to get to the ministry. And these are preachers. We have to ride motorcycles. We need motorcycles. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, about every week. So one day I thought, I'm going to put a stop to this. So he calls me up. "Brother Weston, have you thought about a motorcycle?" And I said, "Yeah, I thought about one." "You're going to have to get it yourself." I said, "You don't need what we got over here in America, mister." I said, "You need what I'm going to tell you." I said, "You don't need my motorcycle, because when it blows up, it's blowed up. But if you get God, believe God, and I'm going to teach you how." See, that's teaching God's people how to prosper. Teaching them, "But if I ain't got it, I can't." Well, you're just on your own over there. And don't think God don't want us reaching into India. He wants you to go when you won't send a dollar. "Well, we got people in our own backyard." Well, that's what he could have told Jesus. Just stay here in Galilee now. Don't go all over the world and get the rest of them. If he'd have thought that way, we were Gentiles grafted in. He gave Paul the revelation of grace that we, because he went to his own, the children of Israel, and they wouldn't receive him. They received me not. Then he sent and he grafted us in. He adopted us, man. He said, "Black God, y'all don't want me? I'm going over here to somebody that does." So don't think God won't send us to India. We do take care of things here. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. You might think these things are small down here, but these are a part of a lifetime dream that I've had in the Lord, that the Lord would raise me up to feed the hungry. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, feed the hungry. He said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to see me." See, all of this takes sacrifice. Guy, I give some food to every now and then. He's like, "Well, they need to come over and get food." I said, "They need to get in the food line." "But it's too early on Saturday." We understand we're here. Come on, you think we're stupid? We don't want to get up either. We want to set up and watch movies on Friday night every now and then, okay? Till 12 or 1. Because some of us go to work because we got to work, go to bed, unlike Travis. He stays up late and don't feel good the next day. It amazes me. Come in, "I'll stay up too late." Whose fault's that? That's what I tell him. Whose fault's that, Beth? Did Beth just twist your arm and slap you around and make you stay up or something? You know, what's going on, man? And then I told him, I said, "Well, you need it. You did it. You need to suffer." It's hard for me to tell my kids that. I love him. I tell him the truth, but God. You stay up to 1 o'clock, sure, you're going to feel like you've been run over by a freight train all day long. Don't complain to us. Just get your impact and shut up. Just get it and shut up. We don't want to hear it. We went to bed early. We're thinking straight. We went to bed and got up fresh and brushed our teeth. We out. What was that? I don't remember where that. Give me that Psalms 23, Beth. I got to close early. Maybe. Not like that. Hey, I enjoy this stuff, man. I'm living it. I mean, I'm living in victory. I'm not trying to get victory. I'm living out of a standpoint of victory. But that has to be your thinking. You don't wait till you get to where you are in the victory before you live out of a standpoint of victory. You live out of a standpoint of victory while you're in the valley. Before you get on the mountain, before you get your money, before you don't know what to do and all of that stuff, or anything like that. You've got to live out of a stance of victory. Praise God. I'm not a victim. You're not a victim trying to get victory. You're victorious over that, and it's trying to bring you into bondage. That's why I told Travis, I mean, teenagers, they're naive to a lot of stuff. Very smart. I don't know a dumb teenager, really. I mean, really, like Aubrey and all. Aubrey figures my problems out, and I don't even want her to. She's 7. If something, you know, I mean, something needs fixing, she'll say, well, Papa, I got an idea. And I'm like, well, I didn't ask. But so she's got this idea of how to fix it before I'm not really looking to fix it. So their kids are smart. It's not, it might be because she's kin to me, I don't know. You know, I mean, they're smart, but they're naive. Teenagers are naive. Travis was naive. He had it made. He had it made at home, but he had to go to bed at 10:30. He didn't like rules. He didn't like that at all. So, you know, when he gets, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I deal with this? You know, because, and I mean, he was trying, it felt like he was trying to make me choose between him and Teresa. And so I just went to him, Johnny. You know, now see, these are biblical things that I'm standing on in my heart. Let a man leave his, and what? Cleave to his wife every now and then. Put the kids first, make sure they're took care of for the wife. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The kids are supposed to be in subjection to me. And although Travis is a man, he still is at times. I mean, he still, you know. No, it says for them to come together and they both become one. So I told Travis one time, see, while I'm going through this season of teenage years of raising a teenager, I don't know. I ain't been there. All I know is I was a rebellious one. There ain't no law telling me nothing. I'm not going to school. I'm cussing the cops out. I'm cussing my parents out and telling them, call them. I don't care to go to jail. I've been to jail. You know, so that's all I really knew that I could identify with. But now I am a born-again man raising a son in church and all of that. Now I've got Bible wisdom. Now I got the stamina to stand up and tell him, don't make me choose between you and your mother. Just don't do it. Don't put me in that position because she was here first. And I meant what I was saying, Johnny. I wasn't trying to degrade Travis or make him feel bad. This is biblical for me to stand this way. And he needed that man to stand up. He needed it. Because he's in a season of going through and feels like he's in bondage. I'm in a season of going through and feel like he's trying to bring me into bondage. And so I told him, I said, don't make me choose between you and your mama. I said, because your mama was here first. And he didn't. He didn't. He needed that stance, you know, of his father standing up while I was going through. But I learned now that if I can get you as parents to stand up godly ways, don't abuse your kids. Don't beat them. You don't have to beat them. Just be consistent with them. Be consistent in what you believe. Jesus, number one. And that they, just like Aubrey now, I can mention tithing to her about giving Jesus his. I don't want, she'll just tell me, I don't want to give Jesus mine. And so I come up with this idea. I told Teresa, I said, well, buddy, God, she's going to give Jesus some money. I said, what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to go to church. I said, and I'm going to give them money every Sunday. I said, I'm going to give them money. I said, and I'm going to give them two each. And I'm going to tell each one of them, you keep one and you give the other to Jesus. She's going to give to Jesus. Now, I told her, if you don't want to do that, I keep both of them. It's hard to pass up a buck. Mom and them give them envelopes this morning, writing their names on Jesus' offering. Hallelujah. I'm persistent. I'm not going to let down. Well, they're just kids. No, you are senile to what's going on in their life. They're not just kids. They are God's creation, and we're supposed to train them up in the admonition of the Lord. Y'all older ladies are supposed to be taking these younger ladies in here and tell them how to be a good wife. And tell them how not to dress provocative. We don't want to get up in their business. Don't be nosy, but be a woman. Don't do it out of any other reason other than you want them to know the godly attributes. Well, I want them to know that tithing is something that they need to do all of their life. They won't never not have a blessed life. Well, I've lived pretty good. Well, you can't take it with you. I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord on my money than have $1 million and not need nothing. I'd rather have the blessing and the provision of God in my life, because it's sustainable. It's sustainable. I mean, it's just never ending. I told Teresa, I said, when my banking account hits this, I said, I want you to draw this out and put it up. Every time it hits that, and I'm thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, what am I doing? What am I doing? I said, when it hits that amount, draw that amount out, put it up. Don't even ask me. Don't tell me nothing. Just do it. I'm coming out, and I'm not going to live off of Social Security. And if you're smart, you shouldn't either. Praise God. Get you Social Security. And somebody said, how much can you make? And they said, I think it's $1,200 according to how much you get Social Security. And I said, well, but God, I said, that's what I'm going to do then. I said, I'm going to draw my Social Security and I'm going to work. When I hear most people outside God, they're saying, I'll be glad when I get my Social Security. We're out and retire. They're 55. Man, I'm like, what? Are you serious? You going to settle for $800, $900, $1,100 a month? Cheers? Nah, man, these old grannies up there, they don't need to work. Walmart.
Yes, honey. Hey, sonny, what are you doing up here? Oh, well, I got bored at home, and ain't nothing to do at home but watch that stupid TV all day long. So I just put me in an application up here at Walmart. I said, how old are you? I'm just 93.
I thought, there's the attitude our church has got to have. You're 83 years old, and you're like, oh, I heard every word. Good God Almighty. I need to take you to Walmart, to that little woman that sat in there and quit feeling sorry for herself and went and put in her application. Now she's making $1,200 a month plus her Social Security. And she told me, I'm not leaving it to them kids of mine. I'm enjoying myself. I buy me something all the time here at Walmart and take it home. I don't need nothing, but I'm just spending my money on me. I said, you go, girl. Don't leave that lazy bunch of kids nothing. I told Travis one time, I said, if you get anything, I'm leaving everything to your kids. You get your own inheritance. Which I was just messing with him, you know. Because he's thinking, nah, Dad, Pa, he died, I get everything. Get everything. And nah, you don't know. He don't know. Yeah, I got a copy of your will, Dad. I might have another one. Who knows? I might change that one and let you have that outdated one. Dad, boy, he was a blessing from the Lord. I look, oh, Aubrey and Aiden. Oh, he left it to Beth? Are you serious? We knew she'd make the right choice. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, while you're going through, don't let going through take the get up and go out of you. When you start going through things, change, God's going to deal with us to change all the time. I mean, he is. I mean, I've come to realize that more and more, you know, he demands change in my life to go. He's taking me higher, want me to go deeper in him and all of that. And you know what? I told Travis, I said, when I do get out, I'm going to focus in on ministry more. That's what I'm going to do. The more I back out of God's doors, I'm going to focus in on ministry. Then we might have some midweek healing school, midweek miracle services. I started them one time, and everybody down here, everybody's sick. They're too sick to come to church. I said, it's healing school. I should have just put hospital out there, emergency, with a flashing light. If you're sick, this is where you're supposed to be. It's a hospital. Emergency. If you fall out and you're choking, run down here. We gonna cast it out. You can't choke down here. I told the Lord, I said, what's wrong with these people, Lord? Have healing school, pray God. Teresa come one time. I wasn't even praying for people. She come one time. The Lord told me, said, pray for Teresa. And I thought, I'm not having prayer here, Lord. I'm teaching on healing. He said, pray for Teresa. You know what? I told her, I said, come up. Lord wants you to pray for you. I come up and prayed for her, and she got healed. Totally healed in that healing service, praise God. So I want to encourage you, while you're going through, I don't know all the things in your life, praise God, but the Holy Spirit does. But if you're here and you're not right with Jesus, I'm telling you, you can't see into this kingdom, you know. Fox News and all that makes me sick. I mean, the lying. I won't name your little station. But there's a real devil out there. And bless God, he wants to feed us a bunch of hogwash like we can't make it, we can't come out of debt. Oh, the government, right now you're hearing it, the government is just taking over and taking. They are. They've sent hiring 87,000 people to go audit businesses and stuff. I'm fine with that. You know, 87,000 they hired to go and like David's business. Yeah. They say they're doing it for the people. They say they're doing it to the rich. Well, that's me. I'm going to audit the rich. That's me, baby. Which I don't care. I'm not scared of the government. I don't care. Let them find me. I'll just pay it. I'll just say, here's the bill, Lord. Just like I do if y'all go out and eat with me. I'll just get the tab. Go in there and pay it all. Just pay it. Well, we don't fear nothing, right? The Bible says, fear not. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, of not making it, of not having hope for your future, of not being healed. I'm being healed right now. My body's being healed right now. I've been dealing with these sinuses for 5 years, and I've went to all the doctors, and they can't do nothing about it, and blah, 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 and had surgery, and blah, blah, blah. And I tell them, I said, hey, man, I said, I've got excess phlegm, man. I'm sick at my stomach every day till lunch. You ever been nauseated till lunch every morning, every day? Nauseated to where you pull off the road and need to throw up, but you can't. You ain't gonna throw up. Tell us, he said, well, you can start with Claritin D. I said, I'm not taking that junk. You can do Mucinex. No, I'm not taking that junk. That makes me want to beat people up. Stuff makes me yield, man. Take one of them, Teresa, get up in the morning, say something like, what?
Hey, what are you screaming at me for? Just shut up. I don't want to talk right now. I'm sick of my stomach and the Mucinex got me mad as the hornet. I'm not living like that, Johnny. I'm not taking Claritin and Mucinex. No, I'm taking the gospel. The gospel. The word. I've got it on it day and night, morning. When I'm about to throw it, I'm on it. And it's drying up at the roots. Just like Jesus cursed that fig tree, but God, it's got to dry up at the roots. And you mark my word. It says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Now, I've got to get that word, and I can't just think that word. I've got to put that word in, put it in, and put it in, and receive it, and just thank him for it, and just walk on until it has to do what I'm saying in my body. That's you. Praise God. That's why a lot of folk don't do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.